Sandy Koufax blazed, burned, and went the distance. For his first 5 years in Major League Baseball, playing for the Brooklyn, then Los Angeles Dodgers, he was strong and fast, but wild. Undisciplined lightning that flashed, but didn't always strike home. Then maturity turned the lightning in Sandy Koufax's arm into a precision instrument. For the next 5 years, he was the best pitcher in baseball and acclaimed as the best in history. Certainly no pitcher has ever had a more accomplished half-decade. He started every fourth day, usually pitched all nine innings, had a record four no-hitters, including a perfect game, started All-Star games, and won World Series. He was also a nice man, good to his teammates. He didn't throw at batters' heads and declined to pitch on Yom Kippur. And then Sandy Koufax quit. Not just from baseball, but from being a visible American celebrity. And in his privacy, the legend grew. Writer Jane Levy, who used to write sports for the Washington Post, has written the first full biography of Sandy Koufax. It's called Sandy Koufax, A Lefty's Legacy, and she joins us from the studios of KPCC in Pasadena. Thanks so much for being with us.
A pleasure.
Help us appreciate what it was like to stand in the batter's box against a Sandy Koufax fastball.
Well, you know, guys were not scared. It was not like facing Drysdale and worrying, you know, whether you'd live to tell about it. You just felt you were going to be humiliated, and let's get it over with as fast as we can.
I was impressed with the real thought he gave into the mechanics of throwing a baseball, and arguably no pitcher has so successfully turned literally every chromosome of his being more successfully toward that goal.
He's an intellectual pitcher. He intuited over the course of his career, the 12 years that he pitched, the physical principles and the principles of physics that were implied in the pitching motion. And he came to see his body as a catapult, a double catapult, and that when you put the front leg forward and it stopped, the arm would come forward following it as a catapult. And he actually, after he retired, he became something of an itinerant pitching guru. And he went back and read textbooks on physics and sought out the principle so that he could describe it. And the reason he did it is because he didn't want pitchers to do what he said just because Sandy Koufax said, this is the way you should do it. He wanted to be able to explain to them why it worked the way it worked.
He came up with the Jackie Robinson Dodgers, as the team I think has often been acclaimed by history, and he seemed to have a sense of identity and an ease in the locker room with his black teammates that not every player had.
Not only did he have that ease, he was respected by teammates and opponents, American leaguers, national leaguers. There was a catcher named Earl Batty who actually played in the 1965 World Series against him, who told Koufax one day, you know, you're too cool to be white. And it was, you know, the ultimate compliment. I think partly his comfort came from being a Brooklyn kid playing basketball on the parade grounds all at Marine Park, all over Brooklyn. I think partly to remember 1955 was just 10 years after the liberation of the concentration camps. Blacks and Jews identified with each other in those years as minorities. And when Sandy joined the Dodgers, the black players, many of them, Joe Black particularly, Jackie Robinson, they took care of him. They recognized the level of persecution. They recognized that a lot of the folks there were not happy to have him around. Don Newcomb said, you know, the white players would come to them and complain, this kike son of a bitch has taken our job. And so they put out a welcoming a net for him and took care of him.
Nobody threw a ball quite as hard, quite as elusively as Sandy Koufax. And it seems to me from reading your description, nobody paid a higher price physically for that achievement. Can you help us understand what he went through just to pitch and then just to recover from pitching?
By the last 2 years of his career, he was basically subsisting on codeine, butazolidine, which is a fabulous anti-inflammatory drug. It worked wonders, but as Frank Jobe, the Dodgers team physician, said, it had only one major side effect. It killed a few people. And he slathered himself with this substance called Capsulin. It's since been taken off the market because it's too lethal. And it's made from red hot chili peppers. And it's basically the medical equivalent of banging your head against a brick wall. And they would smear him with it before every start, his shoulder, his back, his sides, so that, you know, it burned so much that he didn't think about how much his elbow actually hurt. It was really, really wicked stuff.
One of the most famous chapters in Sandy Koufax's life, opening game of the 1965 World Series. Sandy Koufax, best pitcher in the world then, did not pitch it because it fell on Yom Kippur. Now, he was not a particularly observant Jew, and in fact, as you note, did not spend the day in a synagogue. Why did he make this decision?
Well, Yom Kippur, as you know, is the holiest day of the Jewish year, and it is a day in which Jews do not work. And it was, for Sandy, a reflexive decision. He had never worked on the high holidays, and the Dodgers knew he wouldn't. It just so happened that this was the first time that it coincided with a game that was going to be as publicized and as visible and as important as this. He really had no idea that this would have the lasting effect on people that it had. I like to think of him as an inadvertent icon. This is not somebody who set out to become the poster boy for the UJA. This is somebody who is doing something, giving up something of importance to himself because it was important to other people. He recognized the sense of responsibility that he had. And it was a sense of responsibility that he accepted willingly. It's very old-fashioned, but he is in many ways a very old-fashioned man.
One of the many delights of this book is your recreation of a game on the night of September 9th, 1965, which I think can be called the best pitched game in baseball history. Be hard to even statistically think of another one that would come close.
2-2 to Harvey Keene, one strike away. Sandy into his windup. Here's the pitch. Swung at and missed. A perfect game.
It was an amazing evening, and the two pitchers, Sandy Koufax and an unheralded journeyman named Bob Hendley, pitching for the Chicago Cubs, colluded on what I agree may well have been the best game ever pitched.
On the scoreboard in right field, it is 9:46 p.m. in the City of the Angels, Los Angeles, California. And a crowd of 29,139 just sitting in to see the only pitcher in baseball history to hurl four no-hit, no-run games. He has done it four straight years, and now he capped it on his fourth no-hitter. He made it a perfect game.
Hendley lost on a one-hitter, and it was what baseball players like to call, and I hope that this is acceptable on NPR, a duck fart. It just was a little looper that ended up in
right field. Yeah, you can
right
say duck
field.
On NPR.
Oh, thank you very much. And it was a heartbreaking loss for Hendley. And he was actually much harder to find than Sandy Koufax was mm-hmm. in this process of researching the book. And when I found him, he said his only regret about that night was that he hadn't been smart enough to get something tangible to keep, a ticket stub, a program, a ball, something. Everybody else was mm-hmm. thinking ahead, but Bob didn't. He said, gee, I really wish I had something for my children and my grandchildren. So I kind of accidentally, on purpose, sent the transcript to Koufax, who, when I spoke to him next, said, you think he'd like a ball? And I said, yeah, I think maybe he'd like a ball. And he waited and he waited, and he had to come up with the perfect thing to write. And what he wrote on the sweet spot of the ball was, what a game. Typical understatement from Koufax. But he also sent Bob a note, and the note said, we shared a moment, an evening, a career.
What an utterly classy and appropriate and thoughtful thing to do.
The highest praise you can give in baseball, I suppose because it's so much lacking in many clubhouses, is to say of someone, he's class. And that is, down the line, what baseball players have to say about Sandy Koufax.
Ms. Levy, thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
Speaking with us from KPCC in Pasadena, California, Jane Levy, author of the new book, Sandy Koufax, A Lefty's Legacy. Our thanks to the National Baseball Hall of Fame Library. And this is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.